Okay, it's November 17th, 2012. Here today with Jim Anderson, continuing our series on his career as an aircraft mechanic. We're in album 2, image 221. I found that it's helpful to say stuff like that so I could find my place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think we did this one. This was the last one we did last time. Can you see that all right, Jim?
Oh, yeah. That's my daughter's car. She had a little accident, so I'm looking at it and looking at it. And finally, I says, well, you pay for the parts, I'll fix the car. I was amazed how cheaply cars are built. And I was taking things apart to figure out what we needed. I said, we're going to need a fender. And then they got the fender off, and I went over and kind of dropped it off to the side. It went sprawling, and the bump came out. We didn't need a fender. But we got it all done. It worked out pretty good.
What's your daughter?
That was Lily's. Lily's? Yeah, she called up and says, Dad, I wrecked my car. Its headlights are laying out on the ground.
How old was she at the time?
She's going to West Valley at the time.
Oh, so high school.
High school, yeah. Must have been about a senior.
What kind of car is that?
No, it was a Mustang.
Oh, okay.
About a 1980 Mustang, yeah. Oh, yeah. They had a little trouble with that car. Her sister got up to the car buying stage. That was a funny one. She wanted a horse. I got her to the side, and I says, I am not going to help you with a horse, but I will help you with your first car. So she got up to age, and we went running around looking, and we found a 74 Pontiac, smaller one. I'm looking that over, and I said, well, this ought to work out just fine. It's got the same engine as mine, and this and that. Simple, it'll work fine for you. Well, she drove that car and drove that car, and nothing ever went wrong. And Lily looks at me and says, next time I buy a car, I want you to look at it, Dad. But you always worry about the kids when they learn how to drive. The first accident, you hope it's a fender bender, a small one. And this wasn't too bad. Elizabeth did better. She just hit a post with a door. So that got her shaped up a bit, but no problems. Yeah, it was quite a summer.
Who was in charge of the driver's ed? You, Judy, both?
Pretty much Judy. And I found out later, of course, I had an old Pontiac Le Mans, big old thing, 70. Or something like this. And I got off of somebody for practically nothing and patched up. And, of course, I left it there. I was driving my pickup all the time. And I found out later that Judy and the kids would go over and take my Pontiac and go drive around to learn how to drive. I used to think that I was using a little more gas than I should or wasn't quite parked the same place. I was busy. I wasn't even worrying about anything like that. Oh, gosh, that's Toby's airplane. Yes, he made a bad mistake one day. He tried to out-climb a hill. And then he tried to turn and get out of it. He was going up a valley. And I don't care what you got, you cannot out-climb a hill. It just doesn't work. And after the crash, he's laying in there. One wing is pointing up in the air, and of course the other one's ground off to nothing. At that time, the wing, he said, oh, my instructor's going to be hot at me. Woo. At that time, the wing that was straight up in the air fell down and broke his shoulder. And he had a lady with him. She drug him out and got him over to the road. It was somewhere up off the Steese Highway. And she got him out and they got him to town, got it fixed up. And he sure wore out the airplane.
Toby.
Jeez. He was a guy they caught with a big marijuana operation out at Eureka. Mm-hmm. Tobe Larson.
The fellow who recently had the mine with that operation behind the mine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was doing well, I think. Mm-hmm. Gosh, he should be out by now, you'd think. I think he finally ended up getting about 3 years. I just appreciated him as a customer. He always paid off in greenbacks. And I never asked where they came from. It worried me then.
Was the plane rebuilt or
no?
Just
no,
beyond
no.
that.
I think that pretty much went for parts. There wasn't much left.
What is it?
It was a Super Cub.
Okay.
A 150 Super Cub.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I assume a person could haul it out by four-wheeler or something from wherever it was. The fact
he drug it into town. I don't know how he got it here. Put it on a trailer.
No one was killed in the wreck, though.
No, no. Amazingly enough.
Mm, looks pretty mangled.
Well, by the time he hit, it wasn't moving hardly at all. It just kind of fell to earth. He tried to make a turn and get back down, and he almost had it when the wing hit the tree, and that was the end of that.
Not that many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, there was a person, the picture was in the paper, the guy took off from here and his plane was hung up in a tree, stalled or something on takeoff. Was that...
The only one I knew of in a tree was at Manly Hot Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a Taylor craft, yeah. See? Lady took off and the engine quit or something, and she tried to get back in and got hung up in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
It was up here quite a ways. There was an old-timer down there. He's a retired lineman. I mean, I never saw that man without a camel in his mouth, just constantly. And he's kind of withered up and everything else. Well, he got out his hooks and his lines. And he went up that tree, and I said, well, how did it work out? Oh, boy, make her all right. Oh, he had to stop about three times, catch his wind, and have a cigarette, and he went right on up all the way, and they rigged up and started cutting things loose and brought it down.
Mm-hmm.
It was hardly damaged.
That would be a delicate operation, wouldn't it?
No, yeah, you'd have to watch what you were doing, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever, in the times you've been working, been hurt or seen people hurt while working on planes in terms of the mechanic end of it? Heavy equipment, you always hear stories about guys losing fingers and all sorts of things.
No, guys, saw one fella, he fell off of a work stand and broke his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Small things, sprains, broken finger, something like that.
Lots of cuts, probably working with the sheet metal.
Oh, God, yeah, you always get that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of the same parts. As you can see, there wasn't much left.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Super Cubs weren't that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't worth it to rebuild it.
Any more to really have a private plane, you have to have a pretty good income just to...
Oh, yeah, there's an awful lot of them hardly flying at all. Mm-hmm. Gas at $6 a gallon, you know, and you sit there and just go around the pattern a couple times and you know, next thing you know, you burn up a $100 bill without going anywhere.
And the cost of the planes, you see used ones on Craigslist for...
Oh, it's like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
People say, geez, that airplane, it cost that. Well, yeah, but here you're driving a $35,000 pickup.
Mm.
So, yeah. And it costs so much to rebuild a fabric airplane that unless you can do it yourself or have somebody help you build it, so that way it costs just as much to recover an old Taylor craft or a Champ as it does to recover a Super Cub, and that's the only one that's really got the money in it to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a cruiser. Citabrias don't even go for that much, really.
How much does it cost to recover an aircraft today?
Oh, you can say $40,000 just to start off.
Really?
Yeah. And if you have a Super Cub, it's worth it.
Mm.
Because when you get done, you've got a real salo item. It's good. It's ready to go. Everything else. That's not counting the engine or anything. That's just the airframe.
Mm. if there's no accidents or unusual damage, how often do you have to recover a fabric aircraft?
Oh, these days, it's hard to say. With the new materials, there's several around here. We've got 30 years on the fabric, and it still tests good.
Mm.
I get to worrying about some of the tubing inside, but we have a low, what do you call it, a low rate of corrosion around here, so dry.
Mm-hmm.
It saves them. My boat. I mean, a friend built that thing. That's still got it. That was a long time ago.
That's a different boat than your river boat.
Oh, yeah. That one's on a trailer out back. The stern is kind of bad. I was thinking maybe I'd fix it up. I'm not excited. Then I found out they have a wooden boat regatta on the Chino once a year. And I thought, well, that might be kind of fun. Plug up a few of the holes and try this out.
You say you built that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bud Johnson, he built most of it. The design is a sailboat, but neither one of us knew how to sail, so we just put oarlocks on it. A place for a small motor.
Did that predate your riverboat?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I got the riverboat about 68 or 69, somewhere in there. One of the B-25s crashed up on the Tanana River. About opposite Fort Wainwright. The Fort Wainwright Hospital, because I could line up on that and something on the ridge behind it, and that way I knew where to get back through the sloughs to get to it. It was kind of off the main river. And I had a lake boat, 14-footer. I'd run up there and get the instruments out, a few things. I got called up my accountant, and I says, hey, can I buy a riverboat for salvage work? So, oh, absolutely, and take me with you. I still got it. And it's, what, third engine is all. Oh, yeah, it's been a lot of fun through the years. The girls practically grew up in it. Picnics and parties and carry on. That's an old C-82 down in the boneyard. I don't know what was going on there.
Where's the boneyard?
It's down at the end of the runway. It used to be. There were, oh, half a dozen old junkers laying around down there. No, they've cleaned that up now. It's not there anymore.
What are, along the, it's the West Ramp, back there, a little ways past the post office, there's a bunch of planes. Some of them are similar. One of them looks like the one that looked like a prop aircraft that you or somebody put a jet on top of.
That's there's two of them. There's one north of the terminal, and there's one south of the terminal. Well, the north one is Brooks Aviation, Brooks Fuel, and the south one is Everett's Air Fuel. They're worn out, timed out. Can't use the airframes anymore. Too much time on them.
Are they just there for parts, or?
Yeah.
What are most of those planes?
Most of them are DC-6s.
Okay.
There's a couple Convairs, and the one you're talking about is a C-119. It's a later version of this junker, which was an 82.
Same plane?
Yeah. I wonder what we had going there. We had to take something off of that. I forget what the deal was now.
Looks like there's a path, like people have been walking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were up to something, but I don't know what it was. The boom. Let's see.
There's pictures later in this series. It looks almost like you're in the Aleutians or
somewhere. We took this series off to... I don't think I took it off. Somebody else did. Some of the... along the Northern Air Cargo. At that time, which was just two C-82s. And the fella had landed short at Nelson Lagoon, little runway. And this boom... through the years had some kinks, but it kinked badly. So the next thing is we ended up down at Nelson Lagoon putting this thing in. Me, Kevin Stalder, Dave something, and Ricardo Lopez. Those, the other two, yeah, Dave. Yeah, they worked for Northern Air Cargo. Stalder and I went down to help him out.
Where's Nelson Lagoon?
About halfway out on the Alaska Peninsula. Let's see, there's Port Hyde. It's halfway between Port Hyde and Cold Bay, roughly speaking. Nice little place. Mm-hmm. Mostly fishing boats. Yeah, so in fact, it was, that was the cleanest village I had ever been in. They really kept things up nice.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some pictures coming up of you guys installing that.
Yeah, that was a fun job, yeah. Dave Wilson, that was it.
There we go.
Yeah, that's at Nelson Lagoon. You can see the hump in that boom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that was quite a chore.
Was it just fatigue on the aircraft from it being kinked
before? Oh, so long, and then there had been damage before, and when he hit, well, it just happened to be just right.
Mm-hmm.
She bent.
Whose plane did you say that was?
Northern Air Cargo.
Northern Air Cargo. Back when they were fairly...
It was small, just the two C-82s at that time, mm-hmm. I think. They've got freight and pieces all over the country. That was quite an operation. Kept good care of the machines.
Do you have equipment out there to replace that boom, or was...
Well, supposedly, I was told that there was a crane or something around. They just had their sea lift getting in all their oil and all this and all that. When we got down there, of course, that was gone.
Mm.
But we had some... call them painter scaffolds, something else. And we got everything apart and came the knowledge that the boom had to come off, had to go in from the top because of the slanted sections. And we still had the tail on, we just kind of got it reefed back a bit to get some clearance. And guys come wandering up. They were, I believe, fishing game. Four or five of them. And they said, fellas, how about going to work? Oh, good. We ain't got anything else to do. So, by gosh, must have been a half a dozen of us, or better. We got it up in there and in there.
But no mechanical lifting device?
No.
Grunting it up there?
Yeah, it's not that heavy. Uh-huh. Really not that heavy. Bigger than you'd think, though.
Mm.
It throws you off until you see one laying on the ground. Right in front of you. Oh, yeah, that was quite an interesting chore. We're down there about a week. We got that done.
When you go to do something like that, is there FAA checks or inspections? Or
No, it's kind of up to the mechanic. You get a, it's called a ferry permit, you know, to get your damaged airplane back to town. Mm-hmm. Over at the office, pick up one of them, tell them what you're going to do or something. It's a sad state of affairs, but most of those people have never been involved in anything like this.
Mm.
So you're trying to convince somebody. And then you get out there, and when it looks good and you figure it's strong enough, the mechanic gets to say, okay for ferry flight.
Mm.
And hope that everything works.
Mm.
Otherwise, everything descends upon you. I fixed one once. Later on, I came in, the FAA guy that gave me the ferry permit. I says, hey, I want to show you what that plane looked like. And he says, I'd have never give you a permit if I'd have seen these. I said, it was an easy one. There's no problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it goes. Yeah, Northern Air Cargo had quite a company. Bobby Schulten got it started. We got that airplane back, and he had cancer. He was just about gone. And his wife caught us, and she says, we went up to her house to get squared away. His wife comes out, and she says, I'm so glad you guys got that back. He won't let go until his airplane was back in town.
Mm.
Yeah. And one of our little expeditions, he was in on it. He bought a Beaver that was wrecked up in the, I guess within the Brooks Ranch, yeah. So we got to a place called Schrader Lake, and went up and looked at the airplane, figured out this ain't going to work. We got it down to the lake with a helicopter and then changed the engine there. Bobby was, he'd had his cancer for quite some time. And it's me, Buck Maxson, and Bobby, and Mark, the co-pilot. Bobby is cooking. And he's dumping a can of chili in the... Bobby, we're used to steaks on these things, you know. None of this... What is this chili, canned chili of all things? Just carrying on with him. And we're all laughing and joking. He's standing there with his long johns and his suspenders hanging down. And I says, Jesus, you ain't a very well-dressed millionaire. And weren't you supposed to have died about 10 years ago? And he says, yeah. He says, but I didn't have time for that. I had kids to raise and an airline to get started. He says, that's it. He just did it. That tough little man. Very short. He says, couldn't have been much over 5'3", 5'4", something like that.
That beaver you went to get, was it still on the ground at that time?
Oh, yeah.
I think there's pictures of that we have.
Yeah, it was in the spring. It was spring on the Brooks Range. There's quite a bit of snow and ice. Mm-hmm. We landed the DC-3 right on the lake.
So a job like this, when someone approaches you, do you get paid by the hour, by the job? How do you have a contract or?
It was usually just, I think I used to charge back then, it's quite a while back, $3.50 a day. Mm. I was getting about $35 an hour, and I figured to put in 10-hour day, that's fine, work out good. Mm. Later on, of course, it went up a bit. But no, it was easy. You get down there and get to work, and you didn't have people coming by and a phone ringing, and you just had your work to do and get squared away. Mm-hmm. We had a nice place to stay. They rented a couple rooms in an apartment down in their house. Mm-hmm. We had it pretty well made. Nice job. And one day the wind blew so bad that we could not work. So we became the highest paid beachcombers in Alaska. Mm-hmm. It was kind of fun. It's on the She'd be on the Bering Seaside, yeah. Jesus. What is it? The Suntory whiskey, Japanese whiskey. Empty Suntory bottles, about 10,000 to the mile. Mm. Just amazing. You think, well, them Japs are fishermen just like everybody else. Mm. Yeah.
There's your scaffolding.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it all worked.
Was the weather cooperating?
Yeah, we had good weather. Mm-hmm. So one day of high winds, and that was about it. Yeah.
I'll have to look up Nelson Lagoon on a map. I have a general where it is from you, but not a lot of trees out there.
No, there wasn't a tree to be seen. Just that heavy grass, a few little stunted bushes here and there, and that was about it.
Did the piece, the tail pieces and the piece between the two booms, did that come off separately? Or did
no, we got to figuring this out, and by taking a few nuts and bolts loose here and there, we were able to swing it back. Mm. And then we tied that off, so we moved it back probably 6-8 inches, maybe more, I forget now. But it was enough so we could leave it on, which really helped.
Can see the gap there where you had it separated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And then, of course, the engine mount was broken, too, so we rigged this up to lift her up a little bit, get the weight off of things. They had sent down a tubing that we could splice on and tie in, and then put a come-along inside to help with the pull on it when the prop was running.
He must have landed fairly hard if he broke an engine mount.
Probably dropped a little bit, yeah, and it was right at the end. You could show it was about 2 foot short from the end of the runway, but it was pretty soft material. The runway just gravel up on top of the Tundra, built up about 4 feet. Yeah.
Were you aware that the engine mount was broke for you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we knew everything before we went down there. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If on something like this, if you don't have the materials you need to make the repair, you're kind of sitting around for days waiting.
Yeah, you want to make sure. Excuse me. Call rejected. I don't know why it does that. Unknown.
I can't get messages, but if I step outside, I can. But in the house, I'm just fine. So.
Yeah, It works everywhere.
Although where we are, we got a little bit of the hill between us and Esther Dome, and I think that's the nearest direct line selling den is.
Oh, yeah, I was over talking to him about it, AT&T, and he looks, geez, the whole area is covered good.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed him where I was, and he said that. He says, I don't know what to tell you. I says, yeah, I can go out the back door and walk over 10 feet, and everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Especially if I'm walking east. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he says, you got Chena Ridge there. That might have something to do with it. But no, he says, everybody else had a good time. Mm-hmm. Although Rod had told me, yeah, he had a bit of trouble with his places, which had cost the pond and down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So I was asking you about parts. You just, if you don't have what you need with you, you're either sitting there waiting or
yeah, you got to figure out something. Yeah. And this would have been bad. There wasn't even a tree around, of course. But, mm-hmm. The best thing when you're doing this is to go out and look at the damn thing and figure out what you need, and then you just carry that and go out and get it. And other people will tell you, well, it's this, it's that, and everything, so you go out there and you finally find out, well, you forgot to tell me about the ripped-off fittings, which you don't have, and other stuff goes wrong. It's like for the small planes, they damage the wing, the leading edge, hitting trees and stuff. Get some stovepipe. It's already half preformed for you. You can build a wing and nothing flat, the whole leading edge. I rebuilt 4 foot of a Super Cub wing up on the Salcher River, out in the open.
And stovepipe is usually, if you don't have it with you, you can generally find some around the cabin.
Oh, yeah, you can come up with something there. But yeah, some of these, no, they... yeah, but if you know... If you've seen it or got somebody taking a bunch of pictures of it, you can usually come up with what you're going to need. Mm-hmm. Remember, most of these places are about Super Cub sandbars or something, so you're pretty limited in what you can carry.
Mm-hmm. So this one, you replaced or repaired the motor mount?
We repaired it right in place, mm-hmm. Jacking up the front, get the strain off. Mm-hmm. Had a split tube all clamped in place.
What is that that you have the engine supported with?
Oh, there's just a jack up on top of a stand.
Mm-hmm.
Some, I don't know where that came from.
Looks like a, I don't know what it looks like. I'm not quite sure what that is.
It might have been a wing stand. Mm-hmm. But it worked out fine for our purposes.
Other than the live good job, did you ever find, were there other times where you used the airbags? I've never seen photographs
of
that.
Oh, yeah.
Using the airbags.
It was up there with the airbags, and then was one other right in the middle of International Airport.
Mm-hmm.
Guy forgot to put the wheels down, C-46. And security people called me up, and Interior called me up and said, would you help us? You know how to run this stuff. You've done this. The biggest problem was that there was too many people around. I had to argue with everybody on what to do and how to do it. Oh. Oh.
It looks gloomy there.
Yeah, it was kind of a gray day, yeah. But basically, we had good weather.
Was the scaffolding out there, or did you bring it with you?
No, it was something around the village.
Mm.
They'd had it for painting houses. And they had a lot of pretty good-sized buildings they put their boats in for the winter.
Generally, when you went out to these places and you had to borrow something from the community, was the community usually pretty helpful?
At that time, it was wonderful, yeah. Mm. Yeah, you could use the... And tell them your troubles, and they'd help. Yeah.
Mm. Did you get the impression, or have you had experience where it's not quite the same anymore that way? Or?
I've heard. I haven't been out that way for years now. Mm. You see, but yeah, it's all changed a bit. Mm. Generally, in the aviation business, somebody's going to help you. Somebody else has got an airplane, or they got a junker, they got something laying around, and they'll help you out.
The size, you kind of get a scale of the...
Oh, yeah.
...everything on it by seeing the person sitting there. Is that you?
I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
Me or Stalder were about the same size.
Mm. See, it looks a little rough there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's in Nelson Lagoon. Yeah, the surf was up. Quite a place.
Lots of Japanese stuff floating ashore.
Oh, everything. And all kinds of fishing gear. And we found some of the glass balls. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, had a good time.
You said that was about a week job?
Yeah, we were down there about a week, yeah. Seems like it, anyhow.
Were the guys that...
Four or five days, anyhow.
The guys that went with you, not the fishing game guys, but the other guys, were they your employees, or were they...
They were Northern Air Cargo employees. In fact, there was a little bit of hassle at first. I got called up and told about this, and I said, that's fine with me. And then this guy said, well, I don't know if we need you or not. I only got my own people and everything. I said, okay, whatever. But I was pretty good friends with Bob Shelton. I says, I better tell him what's going on. So I called him up, and I says, hey, your man down there in the shop says he don't think he needs me. They can handle this. He says, oh, just get you and your partner together. He says, I'll get this sorted out. He says, they're hangar mechanics. They're not bush mechanics, and that's what we need. So it worked out pretty good. And there we are. Happy hour.
That looks...
We must have been just about done.
That looks either like 70s style wood paneling or an ADCO unit.
No, it was paneling. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a bunch of apartments. They rented out to the people who were at the FAA station and somebody else, weather people.
Who's the guy sitting on the left?
That's Dave Wilson. That's one of the Northern Air Cargo fellas. Mm-hmm. The one in the background, that's Kevin Stalder.
Are those guys still around?
Dave retired down in Anchorage. He worked for Northern Air Cargo for years. And Stalder went to work for a long time flying Twin Otters for BLM down in Boise, running their shop and everything. And then he finally left that, and he's flying and working down there for some other outfit now, Boise area.
Was it understood, or did you guys have to, did the owner, Shelton, have to say that Jim's in charge, or did...
No, you worked that.
Understood?
You kind of worked that out yourself. Mm-hmm. We kind of worked as two individual teams.
Mm-hmm. That looks like Chena Marina.
That is Chena Marina. It's probably a mall on takeoff. It's probably Buck Maxon. Nice picture.
Sky's pretty there.
Yeah, that's me next to Buck's 185.
Have you talked to Buck this year?
Oh, yeah, I was talking about a month ago. I called him up and said everything was going pretty good. Should check with him, see how he made out after the big storm. It must have affected, well, he's in northwestern Pennsylvania, but it might have got to him. Mm-hmm. And there's Buck at his airplane. Mm-hmm. Springtime.
Is that out here?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of his malls there.
Are the malls pretty good at aircraft?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're a good machine, but it's not so forgiving as a Cessna. Mm-hmm. Shorter wings. Shorter fuselage. So you want to kind of fly it until you get it tied down. Don't relax on it. Mm. But yeah, they're a good airplane. You just have to convince a lot of people, because all people think about is 185, 206, Beaver. And he said, well, I got them all. Well, what'll that do? These do everything the 185 will do, for sure. Mm. Big wide doors in it for cargo loading. Everything. Good. Yeah, that's one of the other later. That's the M7. The previous one was an M6. Doc Scaly and Vincent the Cat.
Is that your shop?
Yeah. In fact, let's see. I think that was the old shop. Yeah, sure looks like it.
Was Doc a customer or a friend? Or
oh, he's been a good friend for years. And I worked on some of his airplanes, too. Yeah. That's at Kotzebue, in the lagoon.
That's Buck's plane?
Yeah.
Did Buck ever come in here on floats? Most of the pictures I've seen have been, he's been on wheels.
Oh, no, yeah, he's in floats. The 185 was always on floats. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I think we put the 206 on floats the first time here. Not really sure on that one. Mm-hmm. Seems like it, though.
Buck wouldn't catch Ween or somebody from Kotzebue into here, he'd usually fly himself?
Oh, yeah, I'd bring planes back in here, and we had a good place to store them, didn't have to worry about them, somebody to take care of them. Mm. We'd check them over in the fall, see if there was anything seriously wrong we had to work on during the winter. Mm. Worked out pretty good.
So he'd keep his planes here with you?
Yeah, he has a lot down the street.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This goes back so far, he had two airplanes that he left at Fouts's to keep the snow off them.
Okay. I didn't even consider that. Someone parks a plane for winter and goes back to Pennsylvania. You got to have someone there to sweep the wings off.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people forget this.
Mm. Yeah. Do we get enough snow in Fairbanks and we kind of have the lighter snow that it...
Oh, no. I've seen struts let go. Things collapse. Yeah.
Mm. My boss didn't think about storing his boat in Valdez, and one winter they got one of those great big dumps and his boat sank in the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think of Valdez as the wet, heavy snow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we've got this dry snow, but there's plenty of it, and it keeps coming down, and you look out there, and you say, well, there's only 6 inches. That's no problem. But you go out there to take the snow off of it, and then you realize how much weight was really there because it's slow, and it settles, and so the weight builds without appearing to be too high or too thick.
That's Kotzebue?
Yeah, pretty sure, yeah. Yeah, that's the lagoon. That's Buck's house, the guy that was helping him.
Did Buck keep mechanics? I mean, you worked up there for him for a while.
No, I just go up when he needed me.
Oh, you just, needed, okay.
Yeah.
Did he actually keep a crew of mechanics or a mechanic there?
No, he's got an A&P ticket also. That's when we first met, was at working at Ween Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And so he could do a lot of stuff, you know, if he had the time for it. That was the big thing, he just didn't have time.
Mm.
He told me once, in 10 years, he put in 12,000 hours.
Wow.
That's a lot of flying.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty much out of the air taxi business out of
Yeah, completely.
Does he have a house up there still? Does he just go up there?
I still got it. I don't know if he rented it or what he did with it.
So was this guy a mechanic? Or
no, he was a friend from Pennsylvania. Came out to help during hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the hunters organized and haul their shit around and carry on.
Was that a big part of Buck's business, was flying guys out for hunting?
That was the tail end of the season. There was good money in it, a lot of it cash. Mm-hmm. So it was a good deal.
Stateside hunters, usually?
Yeah, yeah.
Was Buck a guide, too?
No, he's a transporter.
Mm-hmm.
He just took him out and dropped him off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's his house. I think that's him in the doorway.
Mm. Did he ever have any issues with people? Sometimes you hear stories of, like, in Jorgie's book where he talks about not wanting to leave his last flight, his plane at Minnow, because it was the weekend. He's afraid someone would tear it up. But did you aware of that much problems with people vandalizing planes?
No, it didn't seem to be.
Mm.
Oh, that was a miserable job. Had to change the oil pump and tachometer drive. And to do it, you have to take the top bolts out of the engine mount at the firewall, tilt the engine forward, it's built for this, everything's set up for this, and then you can get to it and change it. Well, you see the airplane's in the water and the hoist is on dry ground. There's a tide at Kotzebue. And there's ripples in the water, and I got it all together, and trying to get the bolts back into those top holes got very interesting. Plus, they're in a channel with a hole in it, a slot in it. So the thing to do is you get all set up, and you've got your bolt coming back through, and you try to get the nut down in this channel and get it in there and get it started. And things were moving all the time, so you had to be quick. And finally, I dropped about two nuts back in this channel, and I thought, oh, hell, I better get squared away. Got a magnet, runs her down in there and pulls out one and two and three and four and five. It had happened a lot of times, and they just left them in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it got kind of fun after a bit. Yeah, that was an interesting job. I just about kept everything there, and then something would change, and the motor would tilt, and the bolt would go back out so far I couldn't get a lock on it.
That kind of thing is something that wouldn't have occurred to me in a million years, the difficulty that could be involved by having land-based hoist and plane on floats.
Yeah, yeah.
How long did it eventually take you?
Oh, I get it done in a couple hours. Mm-hmm. It took me a couple hours to get the engine resecured, I think. The rest of it was just standard parts changing.
Is that the same guy who was in the picture
in
the kitchen?
Yeah, Bob something his name was. Yeah. There we are in the Colleen River. Way up the Colleen River.
Sandy Jameson's?
Sandy Jameson's airplane.
And the Colleen is up in Anwar?
I expect it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you get a map, I can show you right about where it was.
I'll actually at some point do that, with figure out where I can reference these, because I'd like to have on the web page a map that someone can click on a little airplane on the map and then have the story unfold.
I see. Okay. Your landing gear broke. You got the prop, of course, and the wingtip. That's about it.
Is that a little bit of snow on the tire?
Probably, yeah. It was in the fall. But everything was gone when I got there.
And this is Sandy Jameson, the Esther author.
Yeah.
Artist.
Guide, everything, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somehow you don't think of someone who's a hunting guide being an artist.
And he's a hell of a log worker, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you got the wing, the gear, the prop.
Yeah,
okay. Is that a... What kind of plane is that?
Cessna 170, 180 horse engine in this one.
That wing looks pretty abused.
Oh, yeah, it was a little bit of a challenge.
How do you determine the wing is covered? So how do you determine if the insides of the wings...
Well, you get the tip off, and you can look down through the holes and see most everything. Mm-hmm. And after being around them, you know damn well they're bent, tinkered up. There's a picture in here to show some repairs on that. Funny about this one, Sandy said, well, we got to get an aileron. I'm sitting there looking at him. I said, well, it won't do any good. It won't fit. The wing's bent. Mm-hmm. Well, what do we do? I said, we'll use what we got. We'll straighten her out a little bit, this and that, make things move. It'll work. Oh, yeah.
Are the doors off the plane for a reason?
Yeah, just to be able to get in and out. Mm-hmm. So I had to get inside there and put a bunch of repairs in there for the landing gear to go into it. When these break, like the gear broke, came down, bang, tears it loose, and it tears out some rather heavy aluminum castings inside, mm-hmm. and part of what we call the gearbox section. So mm-hmm. you have to get in there and repair a bunch of that and carry on.
When Sandy came to you about the issue with this plane, did he have a pretty good idea of the damage that was there so you knew what to bring out?
Actually, yeah. Some other fellas been up there, looked at it, and they said they didn't want to screw with it. Go get me. Mm-hmm. Well, my knees were shot. I was getting ready for an operation somewhere along the line. And I didn't really want to go. And finally, okay, Sandy, I'll go. I'll do it. And so just hope I could hold together long enough. Okay, away we went. It actually took a couple days.
Had you been maintaining Sandy's plane?
Or? No, not at that time, no.
But you knew him before this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd worked on his other airplanes a bit. Worked on this one. Just one of those things. He needed a bunch of stuff done, and I wasn't available. Got somebody else.
He wasn't hurt?
No, no.
After you have obviously the prop hit the ground while it was turning, how do you, what steps are involved in?
Oh, you have to tear the engine down and check it all out. Mm. Yeah.
Is that after you ferry it back to town?
Well, that's the only way we could get it down, yeah. Mm. So we did. Yeah, this came out in the last 10 years or so, or 15 years. Before that, we'd go out and look at it, and if the flange wasn't bent or something cracked on the engine, put a prop on it, fly it away, and not even worry about it. But things change, and there are more rules, more regulations all the time. Oh, yeah.
Was he out guiding during this trip?
Yeah, oh, yeah. See, there I'm repairing some of the ribs inside the wing.
Mm-hmm.
That picture, my ex-wife sent that to some relatives in Germany. I think that picture got all over Europe, too. This dumb mechanic out there beating them.
What's so classic about that is you're using a piece of spruce.
Oh, yeah. That's all I had. Well, it was long enough, you see. Mm-hmm. Then wide, you don't hurt too much.
I love that picture.
It was a beautiful job. Weather was beautiful. It's nice country. Caribou on the hillsides. A couple of times moose went across the creek. We didn't see a bear, which didn't bother me at all.
Have you had cataract surgery on your eyes?
Sure.
Okay. Because you're wearing glasses in the picture.
Well, I generally do for close-up work.
Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, this was before that, before the cataracts. Yeah, I've wore reading glasses for years. There, we're getting things back together. You notice that fine-looking wing now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that stovepipe, Ingenuity, and duct tape. And the ailerons on it, and everything's ready to go. You see, I put some angle iron plates above and below it.
Mm-hmm.
Bolted them into the fuselage into some backing plates. There's a piece of thread rod sticking through the whole thing, through the normal bolt that goes through. All that was ripped out, so I put a plate across the floorboards, ran this thread rod down through it, nutted on each side of the gear, and then nutted on the outside of the supporting pieces. Worked out quite well. That's Sandy.
Beautiful country.
Oh, it is, yeah.
I see the, is that the tire?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This must have been before, previous to the last picture.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. In fact, I had the tire out there. I was probably standing on it.
Mm-hmm.
So. I guess that's me. I think Sandy took it. No, that's another fellow, Stan Parkinson. He was flying a Cub around with the Hunters, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems like in the series of pictures, there's a couple people stopped in. And
oh, yeah. It's kind of funny. I'm down there hunkered up underneath there putting my plates and things on. This boy says, "Jimmy, what are you doing here?" And I turned around, and Steve O'Brien, an old friend from Manly Hot Springs. I said, "Well, I might ask you the same thing." And he was up there helping Sandy out, small plane on floats. Yeah. And that's, this guy was hauling meat out for him, I think. Some other deal. Yeah, I flew back to Fort Yukon with him.
Where did Sandy base out of on his guiding trips?
Well, for this one, your closest base would have been Fort Yukon for fuel and this and that. When we got the plane fixed up to fly, I said, "Once you go to Circle or Central, whichever, because you can probably get some more gas there if you need it. Mm-hmm. And if something goes wrong, we can put it on a trailer and take the wreckage home. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go through all this again." Mm-hmm. This all started off because he was covered with insurance. But the helicopter outfit wanted something like $13,000, $14,000 to haul it from the Colleen to Fort Yukon. Well, you couldn't get it out of Fort Yukon then without hiring something else. And as creative as I could get, I only came up with about $5,000 for the whole total bill. Like I say, I was only there two nights.
Looks like you did a lot of work in two nights.
No, 2 days. Oh, it wasn't a bad one at all.
A little bit of fresh snow on the ground there, too.
Mm-hmm. Those altitudes, you can get her anytime. Yeah, there I am.
And that was right before your knee surgery.
Well, that was before the knee surgery, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't look bad at all, eh?
Mm-mm.
I don't know if you can see the picture, but there's a cable from the landing gear going up to the lower engine mount on the right side, and there's another one going back to a ski fitting back on the fuselage, to just in case to keep it from swinging fore and aft. But I didn't plan on any trouble there anyhow. I said, we don't really need it, but we'll put it on for the just in case. And there he goes.
And I think you talked before about this repair, and you said it, he was impressed with how it flew. Maybe I'm thinking of a different repair, but he's pretty tickled. He wasn't thinking it was going to perform as nicely as it did.
Oh, yeah. He said, no, gosh. He says, it worked good. He said, fine. First night's camp. I think that was the first night, yeah.
It's a nice tent.
Oh, yeah. And had one of those Arctic oven tents.
Mm-hmm.
Real nice. Comfortable and warm. Sandy cooking breakfast in the tent.
If that was a cabin, that could have been a sourdough from the gold.
Oh, rush. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was all right. That's Sandy again, I think.
How far do you have to go to get the spruce trees? I guess you can see some.
They were across the river.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there was a couple patches around there. They're not too tall, but they were plenty what we needed. That's down here. In fact, that's just down the runway a ways, the road. It's a steerman in the background and a Curtis Robin in the foreground.
Mm-hmm.
Belonged to Ed Galvin and Stanley Galvin.
What years were these aircraft?
I don't know about the steerman. That was built during the war.
Mm-hmm.
The Curtis is back in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
It laid its wreckage somewhere out of Tanana, Ray River country, for ages. Oh, everybody knew about it. But Ed went over there and looked it over, and then he went back in and got it and brought it up to Central, and they rebuilt it. And the first time I saw it after it was rebuilt, in the spring, Buck and I are out here working on something. Round engine. What the hell got going here? That thing came around the corner and it looked absolutely brand new.
Mm.
You thought you were in the Twilight Zone. It was beautiful. Still is.
It's still around?
Oh, yeah. I gotta go take a leak.
Okay.
All right. And what would the museum have done with it? It'd be still sitting there in a pile of junk. And you know it.
Mm.
Oh, well. It's easy to make comments like that when all the work is done.
Yeah. Is the fellow who owns that plane still, does he fly it?
No, Ed passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Son flies it now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps it up at Central.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had to laugh. I said, well, was first talking about rebuilding it. I said, well, Ed, you got those hydraulic kind of shock absorber landing gear. What do you do about them? Oh, Stanley fired up the ladies. He's building them now. No problem. You want to find people that build, repair, or invent, you get one of the old Matanuska homesteaders out of the Palmer area, or you get a gold miner.
Mm.
By gosh, one of the older ones, that is. This ain't going to work.
Yeah.
What else we got going here?
that's down here a ways?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The hangar is, yeah.
Beautiful plane.
Oh, gosh, yeah. They both are good. I can tell you a nice story about that one. One year, this gal I knew was a bartender in Maryland. Nice person. Anyhow, she decided for a little change of pace, she'd go tend bar at Circle Hot Springs. It's quite a while back since the springs have been a mess over the years. Mm. Anyhow, she came into town and appeared and we're talking. So how'd things go? She says, by God, the best was the 4th of July. She says, Stanley brought his biplane over and he's doing aerobatics for everybody there. Oh, geez, it was nice to watch. Then he asked me if I'd like to go up.
Sure.
Because what a chance, right? An open cockpit airplane. After they're up in the air, Stan talked to the intercom. He says, well, how about doing a loop or something? Oh, go ahead and try it. Well, he went through the whole routine, loops and spins and rolls and everything, and come in and landed. I said, well, Jesus, Marilyn, what'd you think of all that? She says, it was better than sex. Oh, jeez. She was a funny one. Oh, yes, quite a gal.
Was she bartending at the hot springs themselves, at the resort?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And she one of them gals, she'd just stand there and shoot the breeze with everybody, just friendlier than a wet dog. No airs about her at all. She's just good. She used to have a model airplane made out of beer cans hanging in the motel. She worked there quite a while. Two or three of us mechanics was in and out of there and said, hey, we got to fix this up. So we got her set of log books and annualed it and repaired it and licensed it. And this went on for quite a while. And all of a sudden, one day, she's digging around and her log book had disappeared. I said, oh, we can make a new one. Oh, no, she says, it wouldn't be right anymore. Yeah, that was a well-documented airplane. It had cylinder changes and everything on it. It was. They never built it. It used some short black iron bolts for cylinders. Of course, mm-hmm. One of them fell out, so we had to have a cylinder change.
Is she still up here in the country?
Or? Geez, I don't know. I haven't been in the motel or any place for years now.
Mm-hmm. Do you... Well, yeah, you, of course you do. The day we came in from Kotzebue, from Kotzebue to Fairbanks, was the day the motel... riverboat caught fire.
Mm. That's where I was when the big earthquake hit Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of us on the night shift at Wings, and they opened up early, and we were doing something. Three, four of us helping somebody do something anyhow. And we had retired to the motel to have a couple beers. Next thing you know, the place is rocking a bit, and the owner's wife come running down those stairs just to screaming, and out the door she went, and screaming earthquake. We all sitting there thinking, whew, God, we thought we were drunk. Everything was rocking around. So it went out. At that time, there was some tall, what do you call them, poplar, something else.
Cottonwood,
what's the other, aspen.
Aspen.
Right in that area. They were just whipping back and forth. We said, boy, it is quite an earthquake. You know, ain't this something? So we went back in and commenced to finish our beers. It wasn't for 3-4 hours later we heard about Anchorage.
Mm.
And what had really happened.
That was 64? Friday earthquake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's inside of me old shop there. I don't know whose it is.
Recognize the fellow standing there?
Not right off. I don't know who that'd be.
I recognize that table.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was in the new hangar. That's called Air. Belongs to Martinot. It's still here. I rebuilt the wings. They're yellow now instead of blue.
Mm. It almost looks like a crop duster or something.
They built 35 or 36 of these passenger models. They're just two placed side by side. And then they went to building crop dusters. They probably had out the first plane actually designed as a crop duster. International Airport. Nenana Fuel Company. He'd gone into land somewhere and hit, and the axle broke, and the wheel went up through the camp, and he bored around and bored around and came back to Fairbanks and landed here, gear up. Hmm.
So he didn't actually complete his landing where he...
Oh, no, it. No, he poured the coal to it and got out of there. He hit pretty hard and, oh, boy, maybe he saw the wheel going ahead of him, I don't know. Hmm.
What kind of plane is that?
C-46.
Okay. Nenana Fuel Company, was that anything to do with Al Wright?
No, that had more to do with the Cog Hills and Cliffy Everts. Mm-hmm. And that's all they were doing, were hauling fuel and garbage around. Oh, yeah.
Looks like he got his prop pretty good,
too. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Well, he must have had him shut down pretty good. That was a high snow year.
Mm-hmm. Was that out here?
That was out here, yeah. Mm-hmm. Trees in the background.
When you, when someone agrees to park their planes here, is it understood that you'll keep the snow
clear? No. I tell them getting the snow off is up to you. I'll try to drag things a bit now and then so you can get to them easier. Mm-hmm. And if you leave town, let me know and I'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. But that's the only rule. Some guys don't even seem to think they got an airplane.
Mm-hmm. Like there's, I said, a lot of snow.
Yeah, that's before I moved over here. Mm-hmm. I had the property, so we parked things here, but that was about it. No electricity, no nothing. The snow was deep enough. I think all I had at the time was this John Deere tractor. Ooh, there was a job. I had a Herman Nelson heaters for heat. I mounted on my truck so I could heat up Schulten's airplanes when they came through. Mm-hmm. For Northern Air Cargo. And I'm in a bar one night at the motel having a drink. This guy that ran Alaska Unlimited, all dirt moving equipment. Mm-hmm. He says, no, it was another one. He was working for Sourdough Express. He was a dispatcher named Owen Walker. Anyhow, Owen's sitting there talking, and it's a cold winter, and I didn't have any work. The pipeline was going, and everybody was out of town. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, what am I going to do here next, you know? He says, you got any of them heaters? Could you heat up trucks? I said, you bet I can heat up trucks. And so it got started, and this was in the spring, heating up their scrapers. Mm-hmm. Big job out by the dike, now by the dam, leveling off that floodplain thing. And it turned out it wasn't too good, so they had to redo it some more. Green had the job, but their equipment kept blowing up, and they started leasing these. Mm-hmm. First day we were out there, was about 40 below. Ice fog thicker than hell. And it was Stalder and I. We had four heaters between us. And we commenced to heating these things. First, we had to heat the service truck to get it going. And we were wondering, what are we doing out here? Oh, boy, it was miserable. And then things got a little better.
Did you know the people who owned Alaska Unlimited? Mm-hmm. Was Bud LaFon originally part of that?
Yeah, Bud was part of it first. Bud and Dick Carr, who was known as Mississippi. And Bob, God, I can't think of Bob's name. He's been dead for years.
Not Gazewood. I worked with his son. Carl was the boy's name.
Something Wood, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they had that shop out there halfway to North Pole.
Yeah, they built a shop a couple years after this, or a year after this.
Smallwood.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was this through the winter?
There was just a short burst in the early spring. Mm-hmm. See, there's quite a bit of daylight. everything. Boy, we were out there too. Oh God, I don't know how long.
Can you use a scraper on frozen soil?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe they ripped it first. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they were using it.
Well, that finishes up album number one. That's right there where we started.
Oh, okay.
We talked about that picture.
Yeah, Fouts' airplane.
I was just amazed that no one was killed in that.
It was close. Oh, yeah.
So we've got, I think we'll call that good today.
Okay.
We've got one album with either 100 or 200 pictures left, and we've covered everything that I got scanned.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that's about a little over an hour worth of recording today.
Yeah, about right.
So, seems to be about good. It takes me about 20 hours to transcribe it.
Oh, okay.
After, because I think it's important to have the text of the interview available for people who are looking at and listening.
Oh, yeah. So, it's like looking in somebody's old photo album. You're wondering who these people are and this and that. We found one. They put a new floor in our house. So we're moving cabinets, and this Judy's got this one cabinet just full of old stuff, you know, collector. And by God, there was one of my mother's photo albums in there that she'd given to Lily on her 18th birthday. And I said, what the hell is this doing here? I said, well, Lily probably forgot about it. Mm-hmm. It's been gone so long, you know. Hell, she's 40 now or better. And I'm looking through it, and I said, boy, we better get together and listen so I can tell her who these people are. Mm. There was one picture, a bunch of people, including my mother, standing in front of this airplane. I'm sitting there, what the hell is that kind of plane? And I went over to see Jess Bachner. I says, Jess, what kind of a plane I got here? He looks at it, and he says, Stinson, SM-8A. He knew them all. If you had a problem identifying anything, he knew them, the old ones. Oh, yeah. Yeah, some kind of problem, they landed at Ferry, where my mother was working in the railroad. Well, no, it wasn't the railroad. It was a privately owned roadhouse, hotel, and everything. She was waiting tables, her first job. And that's where she run into Dad, and that was in it. I said, geez, pretty good. She said, yep, one look at him, and I figured I'm going to get that big Swede.
That's kind of amazing, just because a lot of roadhouses, not long after the airplanes came more and more news, a lot of the roadhouses just disappeared.
Well, yeah, we see. It's steam engines coming out of Seward. And they would overnight at Ferry, and then a different crew would get on and bring them in the Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. The other crew would go back the other direction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Different sections, or whatever they call them.
Is Ferry on the Enana River? Or?
I'm not sure. I think it is, but I'm not positive. I've never been there.
It's knew some people who had like a homestead that you took the trail so far, and then you caught the train, kind of one of those flag the train down and take you in there, and then you'd go into your place.
Oh yeah.
Wow, your mom worked at a roadhouse in Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing.
Oh yeah. She was at Takotna, pretty much. Her folks had a roadhouse there. And then, of course, she was born down that part of the country. And the school teacher, Ruth Secor, her name was, showed up. And she was teaching a different place teach one place for a year or so, and then another one, just kind of learning the whole country. She's quite a lady, very interesting person. And she's looking around and she told Mom, she says, I got a job for you up at Ferry. I'll get you out of here before you marry one of these broken down old miners or trappers or something. Get you out and see the bright lights a bit, see something different. So she got Mom out of the woods, brought her down.
When you were young, you mentioned that one time that you and your dad were up at Chino Hot Springs, that area mining when you were a little kid.
Oh, I was way above that. It's up on the Chena called Pine Creek. Yeah, I was about, I think I turned 3 that fall.
Did you do a lot of, did your dad travel a lot mining different areas?
No, he wanted to. But my mother, her dad came over Chilkoot Pass and mine, and some of it was pretty hungry. Mm-hmm. She said she would show me how to skin a rabbit, but don't expect more than once. Mm-hmm. I've had enough rabbit to last me for a whole lifetime. Even though she said her mother could cook rabbit, it tasted like chicken. Mm-hmm. But she says, no more of that. She didn't want to go back to that kind of living. Mm-hmm. Some years after Dad died, she says, you know, I should have let Andy go mining. He really wanted to. Mm-hmm. But family and this and that, and then the war was on for a long time. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. In fact, the first couple of years of the war, we were in Seward. He had a job down there as the head of the civil engineers. Paid good. We got $1.75 an hour. He was the highest paid man in Seward for wages. Yeah.
So did you guys mostly base in Fairbanks then,
yeah,
growing
yeah.
up?
Yeah.
There's a... I'm trying to think of the name of the book. I haven't read it yet. I bought it a while ago. It's called Hometown Boy or something. I'll refresh my memory. I'll look at it at the house. I'll bet it's somebody you know is the author. It's about a kid growing up here in Fairbanks in the 40s and 50s. And,
oh, yeah.
And the... I was just flipping through it, looking at, there's some pictures, and there's some pictures of, like, a group of boys, and then it shows two boys fighting. And,
oh, I wonder what that one is.
Yeah, I'll go dig that up on my bookshelf, and I'm sure you know the person. You probably went to school with him.
Hard to say. I graduated in 54.
Mm-hmm.
So. Oh, yeah.
Working, cleaning parts for Jess Bachner before...
The Fairbanks Aircraft Service it was. Mm-hmm. Jess was just one of the partners. There were three guys owned it. Yeah, over Phillips Field. Mm-hmm. Phillips Field only been open for 2 years then. Mm-hmm. They closed down Weeks Field, I think, in 1952. Mm-hmm. And, geez, they drug old airplanes out of the brush around there for ages and just put them in the dump. Mm-hmm. What a shame, if you think of it now.
Yeah. Well, I got lots to work on, Jim.
All right.